Snakes. Landmines. And grass fires. A podcast about real estate.
Thank you, everyone, for joining our podcast today. More stories of snakes, tsunamis, hurricanes, earthquakes, grass fires that can happen in real estate and has happened in Lester Langdon's career. It's a lengthy career of 24 years, and believe me, there are a lot of strange stories that he can tell. So, thank you. Recording studio here at the Poodle Ranch at the Langdon household. So, take it away, Lester.
Our hostess is our queen of the Poodle Ranch, and I am the ranch hand.
There you go. Thank you.
So today we're going to talk about a gentleman who asked me to sell his large automobile repair shop that had 9 bays in it on 1 acre of land, plus equipment, plus inventory, which he had had for about 12 years. And of course, there's not a lot of people that want to buy automobile repair shops. And so my advertising found a gentleman with repair experience and money for a down payment. It took about 9 months. And we got help from a gentleman who was an expert on small business association loans by the name of Dennis David. We wrote a contract, which also included a non-realty items addendum form, and that says, okay, the equipment and the inventory goes in the sales price, and I represented the buyer and the seller.
Okay, so that's a pretty good deal so far. It takes a while to sell an automobile repair shop, but you found a buyer. Okay, good. And so then what happened?
The buyer hired a licensed building inspector and also an environmental consultant, and the bank hired an appraiser. The transaction happened and closed, and the seller retired from the business.
Okay, great. Very smooth deal. Sounds good so far.
And we have very good relations with the gentleman who bought that business.
Good.
And so 4 years later, the same seller phoned me and asked me to help him sell another automobile repair shop.
Wait, I thought he retired.
Well, he got bored. So he retired and 6 months later decided to work again. So he bought a building and remodeled it and upgraded it. And I agreed to help him sell it because he was going to retire again.
He's got this retirement thing. He's going to try it again. Oh, okay.
Someday he'll get it down. And it took 8 months to find a buyer, and we had showed it to about 5 or 6 prospective buyers. And the buyer toured the property after the normal business hours because the seller didn't want his employees to know that the business was for sale. And the buyer had some questions, and the seller agreed to answer these questions face-to-face.
Uh-oh. So I don't like this face-to-face part, but go ahead.
Well, we should understand that the buyer gets the same net to him in funds, regardless of whether the buyer pays cash or goes to get a loan.
Important point for everybody to understand.
The buyer asked the seller face-to-face if he'd accept the price 90% of the asking price.
No, he didn't. No, really?
Yeah. No, face to face. And the seller then asked a question with one word, which of course committed him. And he asked, cash?
Oh.
I think he could have gotten 5% higher on the sales price if the seller had not negotiated face to face.
Okay, well, kind of committed himself there and shot himself in the foot, but
yeah, it doesn't really matter whether it's cash or a loan. The buyer then wrote a contract which required a loan.
Okay.
and the bank would also need to finance the equipment and the inventory, which would go into the same sales price. The current lender who had the loan on the property currently also had a separate loan for equipment and inventory. But the buyer wanted to use a different bank.
Okay.
So here comes the challenge. Remember, he had hired me to sell the previous property. And unfortunately, the current owner slash seller did not hire me after he had retired and bought another property. He didn't hire me to help him buy the more recent property.
And why was that?
He knew the seller and he just wanted to make a deal.
He made a deal on his own. Okay. It wasn't because he didn't like your previous deal and appreciate you. It was just because he had a connection.
Correct. The environmental study indicated that the retail convenience store, which is next to the automobile repair shop, had gasoline tanks, and there were suspected leaks in the tanks that leaked over to the automobile repair shop land.
Uh-oh. And rattlesnakes. Rattlesnakes. Rattlesnakes.
So it gets worse.
How could it get worse than that? All right, come on.
I represented the seller, and the buyer represented himself. And when I'm writing the purchase sale contract, the seller telephones me to say he is now finally on speaking terms with his estranged nephew. The nephew had 15 years experience as a real estate agent, and he wants his nephew to oversee the transaction and asked me to report to his nephew, who lives in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Does this nephew have a Texas real estate license?
No, but he did do real estate for 15 years in
Nevada.
Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm not sure where his license was, but he had 15 years experience. So on a telephone conference call, his nephew agreed to handle all the communications with the buyer who represented himself. And the buyer's office was only 5 minutes from my office.
Okay, so I can see where this is leading. Not necessarily a good thing to bring in your family.
So I write the contract with a drop-dead date of tomorrow. And the seller took it to the buyer's office for signature. I had thought that the buyer's nephew would do it. But then I found out later on that he was in Las Vegas. So that's why the seller took it to the buyer's office for signature today.
Mm-hmm.
It gets signed after the drop-dead date. The drop-dead date is the date by which all parties must have signed the contract. It got signed after that.
Was that a good contract then?
As it turned out, it was a good contract. Nevertheless, the buyer deposits the earnest money at the title company, which makes the contract good, regardless of the contract date. This is a fine legal point. So I telephone the nephew in Las Vegas to discuss the fine points of the contract and to discuss the process of the buyer's due diligence. The buyer's nephew got mad at me for acting like I know everything. And he gave me 8 F-bombs directed at me personally.
During that phone call.
During that phone call. And I suggested that we hang up and continue the conversation tomorrow. And we did not.
So communication ended after he
verbally attacked me.
Verbally attacked you.
That's the nice way to say it.
Yes.
The buyer's lender that he picked would not loan on the property due to a previous environmental study that had the discussion about possible pollution from the convenience store on the contiguous land.
So how are you getting your updates on this deal if you're not talking to the nephew?
I'm getting my updates from the title company.
Oh, boy.
They spoke to the title company and arranged for the title company's attorney to write a loan document for seller financing because there was not a bank that wanted to do the loan.
on the suspected polluted property.
Right, exactly, because it was polluted. The situation gets worse.
How can it get much worse than this? Okay.
Several days before the final closing date, I get a certified letter from an attorney representing the seller with several demands.
Wow, just right out of the blue.
Out of the blue sky.
Oh, man.
So we spoke, and the attorney suggested that the seller would make a complaint to the Texas Real Estate Commission about my services unless I agreed to reduce my sales commission from 5% down to 1%.
Do you think this is just a negotiating tactic, or they really were displeased with the services?
I think he was displeased about the situation. I don't know that there's anything else that I could have done, because his nephew kind of took over giving the advice to my client, when in fact, had the nephew who lived in Las Vegas, if he had not given advice to my client, it might have been a smoother deal.
Okay.
And he wanted to reduce the commissions from 5% down to 1%. Had he hired a business broker to help him, it would have been 10% sales commission. I wish that he had hired me before he purchased the polluted property about 3 years previous.
So that's where the initial problem popped up, is that he didn't consult you on his new purchase after he unretired. Is that correct?
Well, he was also concerned that it took so long to find the buyer, because there's not many people that want to buy automobile repair shops.
Gotcha.
So there were several reasons for his concern. So today, it's not likely that the convenience store owner had the funds to remediate the land of the automobile repair shop, which was polluted. However, I calculate the value of my time, and I decide to negotiate a 2% commission instead of a 1% commission. And we both signed a written agreement, and the deal is finally closed and done. I don't think I'll hear from him again.
Unless he decides to buy another polluted property.
Well, thank you for joining us today here at the Poodle Ranch. Please go to our website at eustonius.com and go to iTunes and give a good review of this podcast. Give me a call if you have any questions.
And what are you giving away now?
Oh, yes. Thanks for reminding me. We are giving away a laser measurement ruler. Please go to the podcast link and sign up. We'll give away one laser measurement ruler every month.
Thank you.
Thank you.